And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. Joe Rex Road, welcome back from Indianapolis. How are you?
Thanks, I miss it. I want to go back.
Do you?
Yes, I want to find out which defensive ends have visited with the Titans so far this week. God dang it.
So some FOMO that you have today as they get on the field combine today?
Oh, man. Get to watch those guys run a little bit and sort of
stretch,
change
even.
Direction. Yeah. And yeah. Oh, God. Amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah. Real good stuff. Michelle, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning. Doing well. A little flustered trying to find some things, but doing good this morning. Doing good. I'm so excited, guys. I was smiling on the way to work this morning. I know Kentucky lost last night, but I was just smiling at how much good basketball we had last night between Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and we have the SEC tournament in less than a week, seven days away, here in our city, and I can't wait.
I like your cheery disposition after a home loss to Vanderbilt. I'm
honestly impressed. I've never, I think, smiled after a Kentucky loss, but it makes things a lot more interesting for them and for the SEC tournament. And Kentucky did not play well enough to win. When you cannot hit three-pointers and expect yourself to win and miss 10 foul shots. So that is their own issue. But I'm just so excited. So much basketball, guys.
I love it.
68-66 last night. Vanderbilt goes on the road to Rupp. And they get it done on the road last night. Last second shot to win the game. And that's a heck of a win on the road. Now, a couple of things, Joe. It's a great win, and I'm excited for them. I really am. It kind of just makes me all the more mad about the LSU loss if I'm a Vanderbilt fan. But it's a great win on the road last night for Vanderbilt.
Well, that's true. And also, just what an awful week for Tennessee and Vanderbilt basketball. They both lost their best player.
Yep.
I mean, in back-to-back days, that's an incredible win, and it's a good debate, by the way. Is that the best win of Stackhouse's career?
You and Jimmy Wyatt were getting into it.
Jimmy was all over me.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
He's tried to send my ass back to the Big Ten. Jimmy the Tennessee grad that he is, hates Tennessee so much that he's like, this is bigger. I disagree. Tennessee's better than Kentucky this year. And I know they lost him twice, but come
on. Kentucky did sweep up.
I know. But
and they've got a better record in the SEC right now.
Yes, but still, you know I'm right, right? Come on. Come on.
Shoulder shrug.
Well, I mean, I think
yes,
normally,
they have better wins.
I think normally, I guess, like, if you look back on your career and we say, well, that win at Rupp, normally you'd be like, oh, God, that's certainly the biggest win, right? Because it's at Rupp.
Yeah.
But Tennessee is still your in-state rival, and I just – whatever. It's 1A, 1B. But in the meantime, both of those teams' trajectories have just completely nosedived in the last 2 days, and it's terrible. And the worst part is the kids. Ziegler, Robbins. Don't know for sure Robbins' status, but apparently he did say to Kevin Ingram in the postgame that he probably – out. It looks like a bad injury. Ziegler looks bad. It was bad. It's an ACL. And it's just – so it's like – amazing win, moment, all that, and also trajectory completely changed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we've talked about the run that Liam Robbins has been on. He's been playing at a really high level, and if he's not in there, I mean, that's a huge problem for this team. Now, in this game, they were able to overcome it, and they played well in this game. And as Michelle said, I mean, Kentucky went 3 of 19 from 3, so that's a whopping, 15.8% that they shot from 3. Last night, that's going to be a problem, and John Calipari talked about it after the game of, if you shoot the ball the way they shot the ball in this game, you're going to lose a whole lot of basketball games, and I think in total they were 19 of 59 from the field, so 32%.
Very bad.
Last night. It's not very good. Not going to win a whole lot of games when you're shooting 32% from the field, but Vanderbilt was able to gut one out last night and get that win on the road, and like you said, Joe, I mean, that's a big win for them. And the Liam Robbins injury just kind of overshadows it a little bit because we know how important he's been for this group.
Yeah, and look, incredible. Quentin Melora Brown hits the first three of his career and does a great job. They had went small. I mean, Jordan Wright, that's the best game of his career. And Jordan Wright this year has had some serious ups and downs. And, Stackhouse has benched him and – he was his first recruit. His Stackhouse got emotional last night in the postgame presser. I tweeted out a video of that from, I think, Bray Smith. I think it's his video. you know, and so just a magical win, incredible moment. And then you have this injury. Look, this team, like you said, if they don't lose that LSU game, I think right now they're actually in the field if they don't lose that game. I think they're right on the cut line. As it is, they probably still have to win the SEC tournament. You know, if they beat Mississippi State and win two games in the SEC tournament, they have a chance. The committee also, though, is going to look at Liam Robbins being out. You know,
exactly.
So yeah. It may be just real simple, like win the SEC tournament, which without him is going to be very tough. But let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Who's the SEC coach of the year?
I mean, that's a good question.
Buzz?
It's not going to be Nate Oates. Let me promise you that.
It's probably not going to be Nate Oates.
It's not going to be Nate Oates.
Buzz?
I think he's a real strong candidate.
I mean, Jerry has to be up there.
I think Jerry right now is Dennis Gates, Jerry, and Buzz. Right?
I mean, my vote goes to Bruce Pearl after his outburst last night, but we'll get to that later in the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible stuff. He should have been mad. The foul that was not called on the last drive was like, what? The guy just got hammered. All of us are watching.
Bruce Pearl, coach of the year.
Yeah.
Alabama's players just like this over him.
God. Yeah, but his meltdown is amazing. But, yeah, I mean Stackhouse has a real chance. Has a real chance. Yeah, there was one game left. Mississippi State at home.
Think about uttering that phrase like a month ago.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I know, the crown to Robbie for making them get their act together.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Just saying, they've lost one game.
Who else have you motivated?
Austin Hooper, Princeton Fant. I mean, we can go up and down the list.
Yeah. Joe Milton. Not agreeing with me that he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Exactly. Gunner on the text line says, Kentucky also played the majority of the game with no point guard.
Yes, this is true.
Jay from Hopkinsville says, now, Joe, stats don't lie. Kentucky swept Tennessee and has a better record in conference play. C-A-T-S, cats, cats, cats. This is from Jay from Hopkinsville on the text line.
Yeah, I'm actually glad we got some Kentucky presidents that aren't just curled up in a ball crying about the loss at home to Vanderbilt. I like your enthusiasm. By the way, the Kentucky not having and Wallace getting hurt, and of course Wheeler already hurt.
Well, who knows what
doesn't
his status.
That also who Wallace moving forward?
Yeah,
that'd be a problem. But I mean, that's another to me, another part of why the Tennessee win is bigger because
I just think the fact that Vanderbilt did that without Liam Robbins was, you know, I think that like he is just such a huge part of how they win games.
He's basically been the best player in the SEC for the last month.
Oh, I mean, he's like averaging a double-double, almost triple-doubles in some games with the blocks. That's kind of where I look at it from Vanderbilt's standpoint. And I know Kentucky didn't have their first or second point guard, but they still had five starting caliber players out there. I mean, Antonio Reeves was running the point. It's different because point guard is one of the most important, I would say the most important, and Casein Wallace really changes the game for them. But I just think it was just so detrimental for them not having Liam Robbins.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean that makes it worth arguing for sure. Either way, it's a massive, massive win. And I'll also say this: he did a couple things. First of all, they called a late timeout, and I've seen coaches do this before. Izzo did this so many times. Like a player who's a shooter who's not hitting shots, but like, okay, this play's for you, and then the player hits the shot.
He was talking about that this morning in the pre-show meeting.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He was providing examples. You know, Stackhouse drew up this great play for Trey Thomas. He missed it, but, you know, it was like it made him 0-for-7. So it was like, man, maybe you run it for something else, someone else. But, I mean, it's actually, to me, a smart coaching move. But the smarter one was don't call the timeout late. Jordan Wright's on a heater.
Yes.
He's got a matchup. Go. Everybody get out of the way, and it's Jordan Wright's going to go make a play. And he did. And it was like Grant Ramey tweeted out, it's like Vandy in the last 10 seconds of games, and he shows like Jordan hitting that shot in Utah Jazz. Like they're just. Oh, man. What a wild, wild few weeks for
was that last program. Was that last play a walk? A lot of people are mad that they thought it was a walk.
Yeah, Michelle. No.
I thought it was a travel.
Yeah, so I actually went and looked back at it. So he slipped and his right foot was all over the place, but his left foot was planted. And as long as if your pivot foot's planted, you can do this. You can do the cha-cha with the right foot. It was not at all travel, which is why the refs didn't call it, and the announcer didn't say anything about it.
Well, because I saw it in real time, and I was like, am I crazy?
It looked weird.
Am I crazy? And then
he
I was
slipped,
like,
yeah.
Right. But, yeah, the left foot stayed completely down. So, but to your point, though, actually, that still does get called sometimes because it looks
sometimes.
Weird.
Sometimes. Yeah. I think it gets called two more not when you're shooting. I feel like it gets called more in passing plays.
Like if you did that and then, yeah. But to the ref's credit, whoever was actually, that's what you're supposed to do. Look at the feet, you know. And if one stays planted, you're fine. Good job, refs. Not as good in Tuscaloosa.
Let's go to the text line. Got a texter that says, did anyone catch Jared tweeting about college hoops last night?
No,
I'm old enough to
him.
Remember when he said college ball was boring, which isn't hard because it was like 2 days ago. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
No, I've muted Jared, so.
He was.
Thanks for the update.
He was tweeting about it last
night. I hope he tweets about Louisville basketball. They're doing great right now.
Oh, yeah. Liam on the text line says, Vandy fans live our lives seconds away from despair or nausea. Despite brief moments of intense joy, we got it all last night. Great win, but the more Robbins dominated recently, the more I was waiting for something terrible to happen. This is from Liam on the text line.
I'm telling you, like, what they did last night and what they've done lately with Liam Robbins, I mean, they absolutely could have come in here next week and won the SEC tournament and done damage in the NCAA tournament. Like, they're playing that well. But as great of a performance as that was last night and a response, you now don't have rim protection that has been so key and, you know, just a guy you can just give the ball to in the post or at the three-point line and get massive production from. It's just going to hurt a lot.
Basically, like 22 and 10 has just been taken away from your lineup.
22, 10, and like seven blocks. Yeah. No, it's too bad. Quentin Melora-Brown, though, I love, like, role players who do little things that don't show up in stats and help teams win. He was incredible last night, and he's going to have to be a 36-minute-a-game player now.
So you mentioned some bad luck for Vanderbilt last night with Liam Robbins and some bad luck for the Tennessee Volunteers as well. The diagnosis for Zakai Ziegler has been revealed, and it is not a good one for the Tennessee basketball team. We'll get into that coming up next. Preds make yet another trade last night as well. We'll get to that coming up later in the show. Preds head coach John Hines joining the program at 7:30, and our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up from 8 to 8:30 as well. All that ahead. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, big win for Vanderbilt last night against Kentucky. Tough loss with Liam Robbins being injured. And speaking of that, Zakai Ziegler, his fate was determined, or at least announced yesterday, a torn ACL for Zakai Ziegler. So, obviously, he's going to be out the rest of the year for the Tennessee basketball team. And, Joe, we've talked about the importance that he brings to the team, not only with the leadership part of it and being the emotional leader and all these different things that we've talked about with Zakai Ziegler. Obviously, he's a really good player, too. He's really their only point guard, and now that he's got a torn ACL, that is a gigantic loss for this Tennessee men's basketball team.
Yeah, it's just incredible that as we get into March, you got two teams. You got Tennessee, which all concerns aside, was built to potentially play for a long time this month. Good enough to do that. Then you have Vanderbilt with this, you know, incredible run, and they both lose their best player as we get into March and just change everything. You just feel terrible for Zakai Ziegler. I mean, yeah, he's just, yeah, look, if you pay any attention to all Tennessee basketball, you cannot not like that guy. He's awesome. Yeah, he's just awesome. And he's exactly what college sports is about to me. Yes, there are always talented, amazing athletes who are definitely going to go on to have pro success. But then you can have great college players who aren't. And look, it's going to be tough for him to be an NBA player, you know, at his size. He's going to make money playing basketball for sure. But he's a great college player. Rick Barnes, it's an incredible find for him, and he's going to have him for 4 years as his point guard. And he is the emotional leader of that team. He's their best player. He drives their offense. When they play well, it's because he's running the team and he's making sure they get the right shots. And then on defense, he's one of the best, probably handful of defensive players in the country. So other than that, not that big of a loss. And again, that team, they have a lot of other good players. You could take anybody else out, and they suffered when Josiah James and Julian Phillips were out. But you could take anybody else out, and you have depth. You have someone else who has a bigger role, and you can survive it. It's just one of those years, and it's unfortunate. And you could look at Rick Barnes and say, like, you needed to bring in a point guard. Now, Tyreek Key kind of was sold that way, and he is now point guard two.
Yeah.
And Santiago Vescovi is point guard one. And be very interested to see, you know, how they play. They played great after they – just like Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt loses Robbins early, plays lights out. Tennessee loses Ziegler early. That's got to be it's got to shake a team. They were fantastic against. That's a good Arkansas team. Not a great Arkansas team. Not what they're supposed to be, but they just blew them off the floor. So how do they respond at Auburn and then into the SEC tournament? To me, they need to become Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously.
I think that may be the smart way to go about it. It just kind of feels like with him gone, I know the reaction I saw from Tennessee fans yesterday was, well, there goes that. There was a little bit of that anyway with the way that they were playing and kind of fading down the stretch. And then, like you said, they played so well against Arkansas the other day, but did so in the aftermath of his loss in the game. And now you're thinking, all right, well, if Vescovi is your point guard, like, that's not really where you want to be. He's more of an off-the-ball type player. And it just, you look around at where this roster is right now, it would be great to have another point guard in there, but this is just kind of the hand that they've been dealt, and it's hard for me to get to them doing a whole lot of damage in the NCAA tournament with his loss and being factored in there now.
Yeah, it makes it way harder. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I wouldn't rule out second weekend, if they played really well. Again, I think, it's what you have to do now is, like, you have to get the ball inside and play slow. I think they're gonna be a slower paced team. That's kind of how Vescovi plays anyway. I mean, he doesn't really push the ball all that well in transition. And can he still shoot well now that he's running the team? Because they figured out that, because he came in as a point guard, but they figured out that they're much better with him popping off screens and trying to get shots. So much on his shoulders now. But look, they were fading, but also, like, Josiah James coming back, you kind of see, like, oh yeah, he kind of matters. He can guard anybody, and he's playing really well. I mean, Phillips, can he have like a Chandler like march like from last year, and that stuff like that's going to have to happen. I mean, I'm still very interested to see how they figure it out.
It's been such a wacky year for them because they have wins that are still as good as anybody's wins throughout the league. I think back to the Texas game, right? So the Texas game, they played about as well as they can play. I thought they were really good in that game. They had lost to Kentucky before that, but the Texas game was kind of the reminder of, all right, well, when this team is on, they can still beat anybody in the country. And really, ever since then, they've had injuries that they've had to deal with. You mentioned Josiah Jordan James. Now you've got Ziegler that you're dealing with as well. And the results have been up and down in the SEC. It's really been, when you think about kind of the arc of their year, it's been a wild year for Tennessee basketball so far.
And then you take it to just Tennessee at large. Man, I think about, like, the football win over Alabama, and then your heart and soul of your team a few weeks later gets an ACL tear.
Yep.
And now you beat number one Alabama with this team a few weeks later, heart and soul of your team is done. I hesitate to bring up the C word.
Yes.
Curse. But, man, just brutal. And, even go back to, like, and it wasn't injury related, like baseball season last year. There's been a lot of, like, it looks like this is happening for this team, and then it doesn't. I mean, baseball, football, and now men's basketball. It looks like one thing may be on the way, and then bad luck, or in the baseball team's case, just getting beat, sneaks up and kind of pulls the rug out from under everybody's feet.
Maybe this is what this basketball team needs, of people not expecting them to do a whole lot heading into the tournament, and they just make a run out of nowhere.
I will tell you, I have thought of that, and I absolutely think this team is still good enough if they're smart with their defense, because they can still play really good defense. They can rebound. They can do a lot of things. They can definitely get to the second weekend still. You know, if they go win at Auburn, but even if they don't, if they come win a couple games here in Nashville next week, I think they're still going to be fine as a 3 seed. I think so. Sometimes the injury stuff does influence that, but usually in recent years it hasn't seemed to do so too much. It's just like, here's your resume. So if they're a 3 in Greensboro, you know, absolutely. They're going to play somebody like Maryland or Iowa or somebody in the second round. If they get there, they can win those 2 games. After that, yeah, it's tough to project them to do much against the better teams anymore without Ziegler.
I got a texter that says, Tyreek Key needs to be the point guard. If he steps up, the Vols are still dangerous. If he doesn't, then Sweet 16 at best. This is from an unnamed texter.
Well, I will say, because they need Key as a shooter too, but you could make the case just he gets way more minutes. He is the point guard. And then Vescovy, you got to still do what you've been doing because Vescovy is such a weapon coming off screens. I think they'll split it, but I could make the case for Vescovy still – to do a little less and Key do a little more if he can do it well. Both of them are guys who they don't get in the lane. They don't, you know, they're shooters really first. But, hey, if you can run the offense and get the ball to people at the right times, then that can still work. Get the ball inside.
Just go huge out there. Just get Plavsic playing 32 minutes a game. Just go just be gigantic out there.
But seriously, go big as long as you can handle it defensively. And a guy who's going to be huge – is Olivier Kamwa.
Yeah.
You know, when he plays well, you know, and is aggressive, they're tough. They're a load to deal with. That's what they've got to do. They got to be a running, you know, in football, they're a running team now. You lost your quarterback, but you still have Derrick Henry. Give him the ball.
Chris on the text line says, great, another opportunity for Vol fans to give the same line of we're used to being let down, whining and crying and crying and whining. It's annoying. This is from Chris on the text line.
Who is Chris a fan of?
I don't know.
Chris, who are you a fan of?
It sounds like a Vanderbilt or Kentucky fan.
Or Bama.
No, that's true. Could be a Bama fan.
It kind of screams Vandy to me.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Let us know, Chris.
Okay, but, I mean, their best player just got hurt, so they can be sad. Okay, Chris.
Well, so did Vanderbilt. So it's everybody lashing out at everybody.
Yeah, and potentially Kentucky's point guard out as well. So there you go, everyone. Which sucks. Hate to see it for all of them.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, a member of the Titans has won an award that I don't think most of you are going to believe. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you brought something to my attention this morning that I admittedly had not seen until you talked about it, and that is an award that a member of the Titans has won that I think most Titans fans, once they hear it, are going to be like, huh, really? This actually happened, huh?
It did. Got an email last night from the NFL Physicians Society. And so apparently they have an outstanding NFL Athletic Trainer of the Year Award. Fane K. Memorial Award, and that is given this year to Todd Torriskelly, who is Vice President of Sports Medicine for the Tennessee Titans. So I'm going to read a quote. Now, this is from John Williams, who is the head team physician of the Titans. He's also a voting member in FLPS. Not the only voting member. It's not like just the Titans voted for this and they won. Right. Like the whole league votes for this. Quote, this is John Williams about Todd Torriskelly. Quote, the last 2 years have been the best of his distinguished career. Despite the Titans having a record number of injuries and record the highest number of players ever used in a regular season, he was able to return essentially all of our injured players to their pre-injury level of performance. Todd defines everything. It's essential in a head trainer, trusted by everyone in our organization. A lot of quotes like that. So how about that? What? And the thing is I read this, I'm like, I wonder if, like, you know, like how much these guys have, you know, listened or have any idea about, you know, people just going, what, fire the trainer!
Like, not going to get fired now. Just won the NFL Trainer of the Year award.
I mean, I guess not, right? Not on the hot seat.
No.
The Titans medical staff. It's pretty wild. So it's, you know, now go back to Vrabel last year. Like, I mean, the trainer? Guys?
Yeah.
You guys are complaining about the trainer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a problem with the trainer? It's very interesting. So from this perspective, all these injuries actually, you know, speak to excellent performance on this end of
yeah,
things.
Strengthening the case.
I think some people who just, you know, follow this team may be surprised to find that out.
Look, congratulations to Todd Torskelly. I mean, look, in all seriousness, this is, I'm sure, a great honor for him. But when you brought this to my attention, I just knew that the reaction from Titans fans is going to be, wait a minute.
Right.
What? With all of these injuries, the Titans have the guy who's won the Outstanding NFL Athletic Trainer of the Year award? What is going on here? And I just think that that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I, you know, you think about it, it's like, you know, he did have to do a heck of a lot of work.
He was working a lot. There's no
I
question.
I mean, a lot of work. But again, this, in all seriousness, and this organization, everything is another example of. And I understand, like, coaches have conventions and all this stuff, and they're friends and everything. But like these people in that room, they don't have any reason to, like, you know, it's not like competitive
right.
on their end. It's the Hippocratic Oath. You know, they're medical people, so. And if you think about it, it's like, I can kind of see that. A lot of work. Interesting, you know, I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but the pre-injury level of performance. I was trying to think in terms of, like, okay, so who would that specifically apply to? I mean, I guess, yeah, you know, a lot of people got hurt and they came back. Like,
yeah.
when Christian Fulton would come back. Because he pretty much is not coming back until he's ready, right? That's
exactly.
Kind of like what it's been. Yeah, he was
good.
He's good. Yeah, he was just the same guy. So there's maybe those soft tissue players. David Long, when David Long plays, David Long's really good. Has the soft tissue injuries. So, I don't know. Good for Todd Torskelly. Congratulations. It really is. It's what is going on? What is happening? Rand Carthon was actually asked about the injuries the other day.
Yeah.
And he gave sort of basically the answer, like, it's a violent game, and kind of shrugged it off, like, what am I supposed to? But it is something that you got to look at and, like, try to figure out. I think it's player acquisition choices there on the front end in some cases.
I think it's clear that Vrabel's not shrugging it off anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, Vrabel at the end of the year talked about, like, all the different things that they've tried to figure out with this thing. Now, I do think, like, the trainer part of this, Vrabel has always not had a whole lot of time for, because, I mean, like you said, last year he was asked about it, and his response is basically, you know what, when I was playing, I never was hurt and thought to myself, golly, the trainer over there, he's the one that I can't get back, can't overcome the trainer.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's ever really bought into the trainer part of it. But, I mean, at the end of the year, I mean, Vrabel was pretty expansive in terms of all the different things that they've looked into to try to figure out what in the world's going on with their injuries, including calling out some of his players about being repeat offenders. So,
yeah.
Like, he's not shrugging it off anymore. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, and I think you go back to Rashad Weaver getting fined and stuff like that for not showing up to treatment. It's pretty clear that, like, if you listen to the trainers and do everything you're supposed to do, then it should work out better for you. And nobody can – you know, do anything about a concussion or a torn ACL or a broken foot or any of those things. You know, I mean, really, it comes down to soft tissue injuries. How are you managing it? How are you trying to prevent that? And it takes everybody. Ty says, I did not say hypocritical. I said Hippocratic Oath, Ty.
You did say Hippocratic, so you're good.
Hippocratic.
Yeah, you said it right.
Yeah, Ty thinks I said hypocritic.
That would not be the oath that you want your athletic trainer to take.
Yeah, exactly. Had me question myself a little bit. That's pretty great. The Hippocratic Oath. That's what Jared takes every day.
So should I go ahead and make my declarative statement for the Titans in 2023 for their season like I did last year when I said, and I quote, there's no way they're going to be as injured as they were the year before?
You could.
I think I should probably hold off on that. But in all seriousness, if this happens for a third year in a row, Like, I'm already kind of throwing my hands up with it with the injury of, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Don't know what's going on. If it happens a third year in a row and they're at the top or near the top of the league in injuries, like, what are you talking, like,
yeah, I don't.
What's the conversation around that at that point?
Well, great question. It's like, so there's like the bad luck things that, I mean, look, Landry tears ACL, you know, there's some right. stuff like that. But part of it is also how many of these guys, how many in both years, how many were the same people? You know, like Lawan is one thing. I mean, Lawan, you know, multiple, you know, same injury. Dupree constantly hurt. And there's some, in some cases, it's like some players who, you know, it's like you might need to move on from some of these guys who are clearly injury prone and maybe getting older and just more likely. And maybe even Fulton, good player. I mean, on a rookie deal. But, like, what about the extension for him? Molden, is he going to be healthy? Long. That's a huge offseason conversation about David Long and what the Titans want to do there. Does that scare them off him? So if it's some of the same guys, then I think some of the answer is, yeah, get guys who aren't injury prone. But, yeah, the overall massive, ridiculous numbers of people getting hurt left and right, I think a lot of it is bad luck. But, yes, if you had a third straight year, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Like the David Long part of this is interesting because I think you and I both agree that he's really important to that defense. But he has been injury prone, and it's the same conversation we're having with Nate Davis, right? Like Nate Davis is a pending free agent that I think as time goes on and the more I hear them talk about their offensive line, I guess the less I expect Nate Davis to be back next year for the Titans. And like if you think that he's injury prone, like, is David Long not in the same category? Like, how do they view all these different things? I mean, you're talking about an offensive lineman and a middle linebacker here. And the middle linebacker, I mean, you can make an argument, has been more injury-prone than the offensive lineman that you're thinking about not bringing back.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And, you know, like with Long, the thing is, like, the soft tissue stuff, it's like, okay, you got to figure that out. But he also hasn't had – I mean, that means he hasn't had serious stuff.
Right.
So, to me, I mean, A.J. Brown had hammy stuff, too, when he was here. And, yeah they'd take him back right now, I think. Josh says I did say – can we hear this? I need to hear this. I think you guys are lying. Josh says I said hypocritic.
I don't think you did.
We can listen back after the segment's over.
Okay. You guys are really messing with my head right now at 6:40 in the morning.
I think you said Hippocratic. I think you're in the clear.
I mean, you would have immediately laughed at me, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would have immediately –
yeah, I mean,
that would have been like Skiatika.
Like, yeah. We would have gone back in the day to that.
Hypocritic oath.
Not winning training.
Cross your fingers. Here you go. Here, have a bunch of chocolate and donuts, and don't run at all, okay? No stretching. We don't do stretching around here before workouts.
Probably not winning any head athletic NFL training trainer of the year awards when you're taking hypocritic oaths out there.
No.
Be my guess. Not.
No.
The reaction to this has not been as severe as I thought it would be.
Right. More. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things like if this award was announced in like November in the middle of the season while yeah. people are living through all the injuries, I'm sure there'd be a lot of what?
Way to go. Really good stuff there from the Titans. I think it's look. Congratulations to Todd in this conversation.
Yeah. Congratulations to him. And it's good to know about this award. So next year, I'm going to look up and I want to know who was given the Fain Cain Memorial Award by the NFL Physician Society.
That's the main thing. Like, first off, did not know there was an NFL Physician Society, so that's good to know. I guess not overly surprising that there is. And then as of this morning, until you brought it to my attention, I had no clue that this was a thing. So thank you for bringing this to light.
No problem. Last year's winner was Rick Burkholder of the Chiefs. And by the way, the Fain Cain Award, named after Dr. Thomas E. Cain, Dr. Robert H. Fain, both longtime physicians for the Oilers, for the Houston Oilers.
There we go.
It was established shortly after Dr. Cain's death and Dr. Fain's retirement. So there's a history with this particular franchise, too. We're learning so much.
We are. 615-737-1025.
Take that hypocritic oath.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some more thoughts to get into from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel and Tip Kelly's appearance at the NFL Combine. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
But again, this, in all seriousness, and this organization, everything is another example of. And I understand, like, coaches have conventions and all this stuff, and they're friends and everything. But like these people in that room, they don't have any reason to, like, you know, it's not like competitive
right.
on their end. It's the Hippocratic Oath. You know, they're medical people. So, boom in your face.
Confirmation. The Hippocratic Oath, not the Hypocritic Oath.
You're just trolling me out there, aren't you? Just trolling me. That wasn't even close. That was a hard eh.
I mean, Samantha.
What was it?
That was an eh, clearly, not an eh.
Samantha and LD, both on the text line, were fully in support of you.
Thank you, Samantha and LD. And you trolls, you know, it's not kind to do that to people in the 6 a.m. hour.
615-737-1025. By the way, David from McKenzie has texted in, says, did Taylor Lewan win Offensive Lineman of the Year too? Let's give John Robinson Executive of the Year and Frank Reich Coach of the Year.
There's the snark. There's some of that snark.
That's what I was looking for.
Yep. There it is.
There we go.
I think it should be Nathaniel Hackett, actually, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, could be.
Aaron Rodgers' Buddy of the Year.
Yes, yes. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it feels like every year there is a player, and specifically a quarterback, that people fall in love with as the NFL draft continues to get closer. Now, the exception to that is probably last year when everybody was looking at the quarterback position and saying, yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't know if that's gonna work out too well for teams drafting quarterbacks this year. But it feels like there's always some quarterback that just rockets up the draft board and ends up being drafted higher than we originally expected. And there's a whole lot of conversation right now about Anthony Richardson out of Florida. So, look, I remember when Anthony Richardson announced that he was declaring for the draft, my first reaction was, really? Like, you're going to the NFL draft this year? Like, it seemed to me that he was like a tailor-made guy that could really benefit from hanging around another year and going back and playing college football. Now, obviously, I think he's made a good decision because at this point, with some of the conversation around him, I'd be surprised if he's not going in the first round. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I watched Anthony Richardson play, and albeit against Tennessee, he looked really good, and he made some throws that you're like, wow, there's not a whole lot of guys that can make that throw, and he's got a heck of an arm talent ability. He can run the ball really well. Like, I like a lot of the tools that he has. There was zero consistency to it last year. I mean, none, when you watch Anthony Richardson play. So I'm surprised that NFL either scouts or draft people that you're talking to and that I'm reading about are as high on him as they are. Like, I get the potential, but doesn't he kind of feel like to me, I mean, he feels like it to me. Does he feel like to you a guy that is not even really all that close to being ready to actually play football in the NFL?
Yeah, I've definitely had that same thought. Again, I've talked about I do like to believe my own eyes on people, and so the one time I saw him this year, he was fantastic. But in Indy, I mentioned this the other day, you know, we've got a bunch of people at Athletic who evaluate the draft, and so we had this, you know, event the other night. So granted, I had a few beers in me. However, I was talked into Anthony Richardson pretty strongly in terms of if you really go through the film, yeah, the numbers, performances, there are some bad, but he actually made clear progress on a lot of things that you need as a quarterback from the beginning to the end, and it was actually, if you really break down the film, it was actually pretty easy to see the progress on certain things, certain throws, just certain concepts, you know, pre-snap stuff, all that stuff. So, look, that's why people evaluate the film. Both the draft analysis world is more beefed up, and, you know, I mean, it's a big, big deal. It's its own separate sports journalism thing now. But, obviously,
the last game he played, he went 9 from 27.
Yeah. Sure, no. I know. I understand. I got you. I do know that, like, and actually Jared was talking about this yesterday, and I agree with Jared. People go nuts about, like, he lost to Vanderbilt. You know, you had the blown-up punt. You had a receiver drop a ball that pops up in the air. He threw for 400.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you compare Richardson's play, and this is not apples to apples because the offensive line for Levis is a bad thing, but, I mean, Richardson was fantastic in his own performance in the two teams in this state, whereas Levis was bad, right? But regardless, I tend to lean your way that even if he got better, he has an incredible amount of talent. All the talk about him, just wait until he starts testing. I don't know what he's doing this week, but if he's going to do everything or a number of things, he'll probably
be
off the charts.
Yeah.
But I'm still with you. I like to see that. I like to see someone who is ready right now to play the position. Like, I don't know, Bryce Young.
Well, Chase and Michelle were talking the other day about the odds for Anthony Richardson to be drafted number one overall. Have you seen this? Like, they started, I think when he declared for the draft, they were at like somewhere around like plus 10,000. And now they're at like plus 600.
Ooh.
It's been a just skyrocket to go first overall.
Yeah.
Now, I'd still be surprised if that happens.
And that's the thing. So, yeah, I would too, for sure. But it speaks to some team probably falling completely in love.
Yeah.
And saying, but what you have to do, and this is what you do with just about everybody, what you have to do is say, and then there's going to be a year. And we'll see him after that year, right? That's what ideally you would do with just about any rookie quarterback. Like the Bryce Young thing, to go back to my dream scenario that won't happen for the Titans, I'm for doing that and keeping Tannehill.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you're gonna suffer elsewhere. It's gonna cost you.
Ryan.
But then you don't put Bryce Young
bulk
into
up,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Ryan, we're gonna try one step drops this year. Okay? It's a new thing. Yeah. But with Richardson, I agree. It's funny, like listening to Trevor Maddich talk about him. Trevor Maddich, of course, you know, very focused obviously on college football. I love listening to Maddich on Jared's show, and he's like, oh my God, terrible. I mean, he's just get him out of here. Yeah. But again, people I trust, but also there's a growing kind of sense out there, and this is what happens too, is like when people actually go through film, when I'm not going through all the film on Anthony Richardson, when people actually do it, it does appear to be kind of a theme, like, oh guys, he's actually better than you think he is. The numbers, yeah, the box score here or there is like, what, how did that happen? And certainly watch him on TV, there were some games last year where he made some throws, you're like, what were you thinking? Or yep. How did that one get away from you? I will say, the one game I watched in full in the press box, I'm like, He's going to be a great pro.
You talked about it the Monday after.
Oh, yeah.
Of how good he was.
He was incredible.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
We're good, Mark.
Good, Mark. What's up?
Yeah, you're right about Richardson. You know, is he going to be a bust or is he going to be a superstar? You're right. A team needs to draft him. They need to let him sit for about a year. I kind of think he may fall to the second round, though. You know, they said the same thing about Malik Willis last year, that he was going to be a surefire first-round pick, and he wasn't. He ended up falling to, what, second or third round. So, I think the jury's still out on Richardson. Like you said, he had some great games, but he also had some games like what you said, what is he doing? But Joe, I'm gonna say this before I go. Three in a row for you. Big win yesterday and stuff. Joe, you really need to go on and take me out, man, and get me a steak dinner, man. I've been nothing but a good luck. Hey, Joe, I've been good fortune for you, man. Yeah.
I'm making you money. Will you take me out for a steak dinner?
Hey, Joe, I'll take you, Robbie, and Michelle out for steak dinner. It'd be all on me. Any place y'all want to go to in Nashville, any place. And right. I said it, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank, man.
Mark, you're the best.
But, that was a great win. I listened to you yesterday. You didn't make that mistake and say something about Taylor Lewan again, Joe. So I appreciate you not doing that, man.
Well, I learned.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, I know Mark. You did, man. Hey, y'all have a good day, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. Mark, one of our favorites here on the program. Yeah, congratulations, Joe. Way to go. Glad you didn't bring up Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
I love how Mark's not, like, breaking down the film now. He's like, well, let me tell you. De La Juan's where you went wrong last time. You can't do that again.
Exactly.
Way to avoid it.
Yeah. I appreciate it. You got to be able to sit through that film and find your mistakes and then correct them. And by the way, I won because Jared is like thinks the Titans are going to go like 14-3 next year. Yeah, they're just going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's good stuff.
The biggest Bobo in town.
Real quickly on the Anthony Richardson. Like, if he's there at 11, like the Titans, like I've thought about this because I agree with you. Like the idea of sitting a quarterback for a year sometimes I think should probably be utilized more than it is. But like the Colts, whoever they draft, they're not sitting him for a year. Like the Texans, whoever they draft, they're not sitting him for a year. The Titans are one of the teams that can afford to sit someone for a year. So I do wonder, like, if he's there at 11, are you tempted by it if you're the Titans and say, you know what, I know we just did this with Malik Willis, but we feel like this guy could actually be our guy moving forward, and you take him and you sit him down for a year.
Only if you believe he's your guy, right? Like if it's like, he might be good, then no. If you're like, oh, my God. This is a dream. Yep. This is the guy. Then, yeah. And I don't think that Anthony Richardson compares him to Malik Willis. In terms of, again, there's some inconsistency with Richard and stuff like that, but at the level he played and all the attributes there's a pretty significant difference.
Yeah. I think a pretty big difference. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. Yet another move made last night by David Poyle and the Predators that, I'll be honest with you, this one kind of left me scratching my head about what in the world the Pittsburgh Penguins were doing. But we'll get into that coming up next.
God.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.